Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
This is Chris Brown, host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I want to welcome you. I am here at the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, excited today to talk to you about stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. We are reclaiming stewardship today. We're going to be talking about your life, talking about your money. So feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We are reclaiming stewardship, and much more about that at stewardship.com. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things that we talk about today, from books to articles, and you can find those things at Chris Recommends right there at stewardship.com. Again, you go to stewardship.com and look for Chris Recommends. Our phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. First on the line, this is Susan. Susan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. I'm blessed. How can I serve you?
All right. I have a small question. I'm the sole breadwinner of my family. And my question is it hasty or maybe irrational to want to leave a company due to moral conflicts with the owners? I feel that my gifts and are kind of contributing to some of the immoral things that he's doing, and I'm having trouble with it.
Well, it all depends on how much money you make. If you make a lot of money, you stay. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Now, is this major foundational belief system stuff, or is this just your coworkers lying?
No, actually, it's the owners of the company, and it's I don't want to get into specifics.
Yeah, don't. There's no need to. Just, is it foundational? Is it like totally against your core beliefs?
Yeah.
Actually, okay.
Taking things that could be that are made for and are for people who need them, and kind of just getting it because I have the money and because I can, because I'm entitled.
There's one big question I like to ask in these kind of situations, and that is, can you possibly be the change agent? Can you be the one that actually makes the difference? Do you think you have that influence, or do you not have that voice?
You know, the problem is when I address the issue, everybody's like, well, that's just how he is.
So what you're saying is, after multiple attempts, you have not been able to break the code.
No, and nobody even seems what he does is it's inappropriate. They're just like, well,
okay. So you're apparently not the change agent. Now, another question for you: are you fulfilled in that particular role or that industry?
Not in this particular place. What I set out to do was to help people and to do those things, and it's definitely not in this.
All right. Well, Susan, the writing's on the wall. You need to get out of there. We just had this discussion here at Ramsey Solutions. And, you know, if you're at a job that you can't stand behind 100%, you need to get out for your benefit and for their benefit. They need people that are there on the team that 100% with integrity can stand behind everything they do and their belief system. And you can't. Now, there is a... there's a strategy and some wisdom on how you leave. Okay. So I would first make sure that you line up your next job. Okay. Make sure you have that lined up ahead of time, and you want to save money during this time or before the time of transitioning.
Okay.
You want to save up before that. So you want to make sure that you are positioned well, that when it comes time that you're in a good position. There's nothing disloyal about lining up and your next job at all. Your loyalty is to your family, to God and your family, before it is that particular place of employment. So don't feel disloyal that you are lining up your next job. Now, from a biblical perspective, while you're still there, I want to make sure that you're reminded of Colossians 3:23, and this is good for our listeners to hear as well. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. So while you're still there, work as hard as you can and leave a great testimony of how you do work. And that would be the advice I'd give. But I'd seriously, based on what you're telling me and without getting into any details, that quite frankly could make some pretty darn good radio. I don't think we need to go there. I think you get the concept. I think our listeners get the concept. We do not need to be in an environment where we don't believe in it. And I would recommend you get out of there.
Thank you so very much.
Remember, folks, the phone lines are open. Feel free to call 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes to us from Erica. She says, my husband and I are working on the baby steps, and we just recently completed baby step number 2. We're now halfway done with baby step number 3, but are wondering what to do after that. We know the baby steps, but we're currently renting and want to start saving for a house, so we aren't sure how that fits into the baby steps. We make $2,400 a month, and our monthly expenses are $1,600. So we can save quite a bit each month. But should we also be saving for retirement, you know, after completing baby step number 3, while we're saving for the house? Or should we just save for the house? Thank you for your broadcast. I listen to your podcast and am so encouraged by your spiritual wisdom. Thank you. Erica, when you've got 20% of the home price saved in addition to your 3 months emergency fund, that's when you can play ball. But you don't have that 20% yet. You need to have 20% that you can put down on the house after your emergency fund. And your emergency fund is still going to have to stay there untouched after you buy the home. And then at that time, you're looking for a 15-year fixed loan with 20% down. Okay, and this new payment that you're about to have, it cannot keep you from starting baby step number 4. It can't keep you or delay baby step 4 of an investing 15% of your household income. So the mortgage should be no more than 25% of your monthly income. Keep that in mind. Don't be in a hurry. You know that this is the time period that you've got now. You're saving up for 20% of the home's value on top of your emergency fund. So you've got time. Don't be in a hurry. Money is made in real estate at the buy. Remember, location, location, location. You might have heard that before. And get a great broker, one that can find you a really good deal. And of course, we have those really good real estate brokers. Under Chris Recommends, there are ELPs, our endorsed local providers, under Chris Recommends on stewardship.com. Got a phone call on the line. We've got Jonathan calling in from Indiana. Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed. Amanda is from Indiana, our call screener, so she said you're automatically awesome.
Yes. She is too, by the way. She is too.
Well, there you go. How can I help you?
Well, 6 years ago when my wife and I got married, we hadn't settled on a home church. And so we were looking for churches that we felt that we could serve in. But in doing so, we still had that 10% tithe that we wanted to give.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, we made commitments to other ministries and missionaries since we didn't have that home church. 6 years later, we don't want to give up those commitments that we've made, but we are still giving to our local church, but not the full 10%.
Mm.
So my question to you is, do we need to break those commitments that we've made to other ministries to then give the full 10% to the church, and then as we can in our offering, start renewing those commitments? Or should we, right now what we're doing is we're, each time I get a raise or anything else, immediately that 10% goes straight toward our home church, and so we're slowly building up that percentage of the home church while still maintaining our commitments.
How many of these nonprofits are there? Is there just one or two, or is there like six?
There's like six.
Okay.
Because we spread it all out.
Yeah, yeah. I think the key here is communication. I think breaking commitment sounds really horrible.
Yes.
I think commitment, you might be maybe over-romanticizing the relationship a little bit too much. And I think that could be adding some pressure to you. I think, you know, unless you have like a signed contract that you're going to give them money. So for me, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving them a good notice, saying, hey, listen, just so you know, here's where, you know, we're at. And really feel, if this is true, you feel convicted lately that, you know, you want to make sure that your first 10% goes to the local storehouse, my home church. You just explain it to them. I think they're going to respect that. You just give them some notice so they can make the budget changes and they can make the adjustments on their end. And then I think, it, you know, if you your desire is to continue giving there again soon, you tell them that. You, of course, you don't say the word promise. You don't say the word commit. You just say, you know what? We want to make sure that we bounce back. And once we get this aligned, then we start giving back again. So I do think, you know, communicating, letting them make the adjustment. You may even want to consider communicating to both parties, communicating to your church as well. Some leadership teams and some lead pastors want to hear that. Some don't. Some don't want anything to do with it. But I think, I just think both parties, you're so rare. Only 12% of Americans are tithing. And, you know, the average Americans, actually it's only 5% of adult Americans, are giving, 10% to any nonprofit. So you are very, very, rare. So I think when you talk to them, it's just refreshing that you care enough to give to a nonprofit. You care about the kingdom, you care about church. And so I don't think anyone's going to get mad at you. But I think adequate notice is huge. So I guess it's three steps. I think you explain yourself, communicate, then you give adequate notice, and then you transition. But I, you know, I wouldn't be giving anything to anyone unless it's cheerful. You know, don't let it get into legalism. Like, oh, we're only giving 11%. Oh, we said we're going to give 12, and I'm just under some like legalistic bondage or something like that. That's not what it is. I think, you know, just make sure you stay cheerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says that. Actually, the verse right before that, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, I want you to prepare your heart, because what I hear in your spirit is a very genuinely giving spirit, which I want to give you a little warning what the Bible says about that. So I want you to prepare your heart. Here's what it says. It actually starts off, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, remember this. So knowing that we're going to need to remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And I just want to warn you that you are going to reap generously. And some people call that the prosperity gospel. I call it me just reading straight out of the Bible. So I think you're on the right track, and I think the wrestle's all good. But I just think you communicate well, and wherever God's leading you to do, I always lean on that Malachi 3:10. I believe in the local church. I know it's God's plan A. My first 10% is going there based on what I read in the Bible. And I'd just be aware, be cognitive of the fact that when you're giving to those six nonprofits, it potentially could feel better, and you can lean that way with your flesh just because you can see the results and it feels good relationally. But that first 10% is really about trusting God. It really is. It's about trusting God, and you don't have control of the money. You're just giving it, returning it back to him, to his local storehouse, his bride, and that's between them and God and how they spend it. And that kind of just takes a little bit more faith, and that's what that first 10% is about. The rest is all philanthropic. That first 10% is just about you proving to God and proving to yourself that you actually do believe that he is the God and the provider. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Chris. We really appreciate it.
Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283.
866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
The phone's all ready. We got a call from Baltimore, Maryland, and we've got Kelly on the phone. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm very grateful. How can I serve you?
Basically, the company I work for wants to move my status from full-time to commission-based. And I'm trying to understand, you know, what does that mean for me financially, and how do I need to prepare myself for that?
What started that conversation? Do you know why?
Basically, I just think the industry, they're looking a little bit closer at what the others are doing in the industry.
What industry?
In the sales, environmental remediation.
And how long is a sales cycle?
The average sales cycle in 2012 for income that was booked that year was about 5 years.
Do you? How's your current position financially? Do you have any debt?
It's good. No debt, of course, paid off. I do have 2 condos that are rented, although I'm not really making anything off those. And in fact, one of them I'm losing.
Okay. What's your expected income after commissions? This next structure, what's your anticipated income?
Yeah.
Monthly or annually?
I don't even know.
Hmm.
We just started discussing it, and I'm going to try to look at trying to get a partial salary with commission.
Well, that's where I'm headed. This doesn't sound good. I wouldn't, this doesn't feel good to me. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's not enough clear understanding of what your floor is and what your ceiling is, or if there even is a ceiling.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a ceiling if I go commission.
Yeah,
I do know that I have a counterpart that is full commission, not an employee, and they get expenses covered for travel, but they're full commission. They don't get any salary.
It'd be great if you could ask some of your counterparts how much the at least ballpark of what they're making after commission. I don't feel comfortable with suggesting that you even do this unless you kind of have some expectations.
Okay. Well, this is brand new for our company. This just started with this other person this year. So they're just starting this commission-based thing.
Well, let's just assume that I'm going to give you some advice, what I would do in the event that the commission is going to be fine. So after you have those conversations, and let's say they're going to come back, what are you making now?
Without bonus, around 100.
Okay. So let's just assume that you're going to make 100 to 130. This is going to be advantageous for you. I would budget on a conservative average month. So I know you've got long sales cycles. So those first couple sales that come in, I would immediately start saving everything just to make sure you got money in savings. I'd have 6 months saved before you even go to commission because you've got those long sales cycles. But I would budget a conservative average month. So let's just say maybe $8,000. Maybe might even be less, might be $6,000, might be $5,000. I don't know. But because you don't know so much, you're at high risk. So it might even be just live off $60,000 and live off $5,000 a month. And then all the rest is gravy. And I would have a considerable emergency fund for a season until you get into a rhythm. But I would stop all retirement if you're contributing to retirement until you get some stability and then kind of restart retirement after that. And as far as your condos, I would remove that risk as well. I would get rid of the condos, and your next big move financially would be to start working on a primary residence that you'd have paid for.
Okay, because I already have savings, so I think, and I like the idea of the conservative monthly planning for that. And so, are you recommending that the $60,000 like have income as salary of $60,000, and then the rest would be commission based? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I would live off a very, very conservative monthly income, like 60. But until you've got a bunch of money stashed up and you've got more answers, I would try as hard as you can to prolong this until you find out something that's going to make you feel more stable and remove more risk. This seems like a pretty risky situation. I wouldn't go into anything you don't understand. And I would think there's some kind of you're probably ahead of the game on this, and you're asking the question maybe before you're getting all the information, which is completely fine. But I would I would bet that they're going to be coming to you with a lot of information soon. They're not going to make you do this without giving you more clear expectations. And make sure all of the expectations, make sure all of the commission structure is all in writing and that both parties have signed, because that can get tricky later.
Okay.
And if you've got a value, a marketplace value of $100,000, that means that you're a pretty darn good employee, team member. I wouldn't settle for something that's going to make you feel shaky. It'd be better to go somewhere else where you know what you're going to get, maybe for 80 or 85 or 90 or whatever, but don't go into something that's risky. Apparently you're pretty marketable, so I wouldn't do anything risky like that. It doesn't mean that all commission's risky, because if you've got a bunch of money in the bank and you know that you're going to kill it, that's fine. Just don't go into anything that you feel like, I can't win in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. That sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. This email comes in from Ron in Orlando. Folks, just a reminder, you can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email's from Ron. He says, I am a faithful listener and I am deeply appreciative of your show. I've learned so much. Recently, I was scammed $3,000 on Craigslist due to my lack of knowledge and failure to read fine print. This has compelled me to be smart. Well, me too. I've been down that road. Smart by listening to your podcast and reading everything I can get my hands on from Dave Ramsey. This scam woke me up. It dawned upon me that I needed to be more wise and learn how the world works. I didn't know what a 403B was or a 401K was until I listened to your show. And I'm 27 years old. I'm encouraged by your general knowledge of how the financial world works, from real estate to banking to benefits, different policies. I have a great desire to understand the terminology, to gain the ability to intelligently read contracts so I may steward God's money wisely for His glory and to not make bad decisions in the future. I remember you mentioned to not sign for anything until you fully understand. Where to start on this path of learning? Any advice for a person trying to learn the financial terms? Thank you. I wouldn't start anywhere but Financial Peace University. I mean, it's where I started. It's where I learned why, you know, Larry Burkett kind of introduced me to financial terms. You know, Financial Peace University is a huge first step. I think if you go too much further, faster, you're going to get lost. I think it's a great introductory, just breaking down the basics of a mutual fund, breaking down the basics of different savings instruments, the difference between a CD and a money market. Those are the kind of things that are found in Financial Peace University. So I want to encourage you to go check that out, stewardship.com, under the Chris Recommends section. Again, it's called Financial Peace University. Well, with all the calls that we've received today, all the emails, I got to thinking, if you've listened to this show, you hear stories every day of people needing advice on what to do with their money. But what about those families that we don't hear from? What about the families that you hang out with? What if you could help them get on the right track, or possibly even get a step ahead? What if you could help these families change their story? If you've ever considered helping families turn their finances around by leading a class, now is the perfect time. Call us today to schedule a class, and we'll put you through the class for free. Did you hear me? We'll put you through the class for free. So maybe you're a small group leader. Maybe you volunteer at your church. Maybe you might even be on staff. If you have a heart to help people, call us, 866-357-3283. And then you can find out how easy it really is. This offer is limited. That's what they tell me. So call today at 866-357-3283. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It has been an honor serving you today. No need to send money in. This is a free service, but in order to be able to continue, we need your help by 1, listening to the show and telling your friends. 2, check out stewardship.com and, of course, Chris Recommends section. And for you podcast listeners, leave us a review on iTunes, but be nice. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown on Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.